There's been no let-up in the heavy artillery fire bombardments that began in Sudan over the weekend. Two rival military groups are engaged in open warfare, a battle for power as millions of people are sheltering inside.
The United Nations says close to 200 people have been killed so far, with hundreds more wounded. Just yesterday, the European Union ambassador was also assaulted at his residence, and a U.S. diplomatic convoy was fired on. Secretary of State Antony Blinken said everyone involved is safe, and calls with both sides he pushed for a ceasefire.
NPR's Emmanuel Akinwotu is in Lagos following the latest. Good morning.
Good morning.
So this is the fourth day of fighting in Sudan, and you've been speaking to people there. If you could just describe what everyone's going through.
Leila, just incredibly bleak stories from people trapped inside their homes for days, no running water, hardly any food, no electricity. And in the backdrop, the constant rubble of fighting going on all day, all night, no let up. You know, the humanitarian situation in Sudan is growing dire. Some hospitals have had to shut down. Many others are running out of supplies. Some have been taken over, actually, by the Rapid Support Forces, the RSF for warfare. One person just outside Khartoum told me late last night that the RSF were actually embedding in their homes within their neighborhoods, ordering people to leave and making these homes a target for airstrikes. Tagreed Abdin, she's an architect, a mother, and she's trapped like millions of other people inside her home in Khartoum. And she shared her frustration about this entire situation in a video on Twitter. And you can hear in the background the rumble of explosions.
We're just caught in the middle. I don't have a preference. It's like, just, this is our new normal now.
Just incredibly bleak, and of course, as well as how this has impacted ordinary people in Sudan, there's also been the attacks on the diplomatic community too.
Now, you mentioned the RSF, which is one of the warring factions here. If you could describe this truly awful situation for people, is there any news on any let-up, any possible ceasefire?
Well, Leila, just about an hour ago, the head of the RSF, General Mohamed Hamdan Dagalo, widely known as Hemeti, he said he'd abide by a 24-hour humanitarian ceasefire. And we've actually heard a response from the army. You know, a spokesperson for General Al-Bahan told our colleague Aya Batraoui that the army sees this statement as a smokescreen, as a cover-up for their, as he called it, imminent defeat. And so this is, in effect, part of what makes this conflict incredibly difficult. Both sides are engaged in military warfare, but there's also a propaganda war. And it's difficult, increasingly difficult, especially outside Khartoum, to have a sense of how this conflict is unfolding. There's fighting in Khartoum, in several parts of the country, but the picture is murky, and both sides are claiming victory.
So, you know, Blinken called both generals last night himself, urging a ceasefire, and it doesn't sound like it's going to happen. So what can happen to persuade the two leaders to stop fighting? Who can get involved?
Well, a whole host of countries have leverage. The countries with the greatest leverage are our countries, you know, the UAE, Egypt, Saudi Arabia, and there are also countries regionally who have called for mediation. And the difficulty with this mediation is that most of these countries can't actually even get into Sudan. The airports are inaccessible because of fighting. And both sides say that while they're open to negotiations, they're vowing to defeat the other. It's almost 4 years exactly since the revolution in Sudan, and we saw so much promise, so much hope and inspiration for many people in Sudan and in Africa. And 4 years since then, what we've seen is that the promise of that revolution has been incredibly hard to fulfill.
NPR's Emmanuel Akinwotu in Lagos, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.